Chapter 15 In a Sewer. After I had called Sweet and banged the cocaine, I had chilling thoughts. I've got five whores just like poor Preston had when Sweet crossed and destroyed him. I wonder if Sweet will dream up a cross to steal my whores from me. He knows where I'm padding. It would be as easy as lifting a telephone receiver. Sweet swears he loves me like I'm his son. These 7 years on this fast track have hipped me to one solid truth. To a pimp, there's nothing more important than copping whores. While I'm holed up, I'll keep my stable headaches a secret. I won't give him a cue to volunteer his help. It would be a bitch to have him handling my stable. I'm sure glad Chris is a boss bottom bitch. Oh, this pressure's really screwing my skull around. Sweet wouldn't cross me. I gotta stop mistrusting the only friend I got. I mean more to Sweet as his friend than any whore. Maybe I should make a run for it and set up shop in some other city. Christ, why do I have to be red hot with federal heat? Why couldn't it be city or state heat? On this fast track, I've only been busted and mugged once. A dozen other times, I paid off on the street. That FBI is a son of a bitch and genius. No, I better keep my hot ass in town right here in this cruddy pigsty. The runt's a whore. Maybe her new pimp or trick will croak her. Then I could walk into the FBI office and stick my black ass out to be kissed. They'd have no case without the runt as a witness. The runt took Ophelia on all those out-of-state trips. I gave the runt instructions and expense money. I ain't never told Ophelia to cross a state line. The runt was screwing Ophelia. That was really the runt's bitch. It's a good thing I holed up in this rat's nest. The FBI would never look for a good pimp in a sewer. It was December 1945. The war was over. The world was licking its bloody wounds. Drugs and the pimp game had hardened away my baby face. My hair was thinning. I was turning 28, but I looked 40. For 7 years, I devoted myself to getting hip to that pimp's book. I had labored with the zeal of a Catholic brother agonizing for the priesthood. I had thought and acted like a black god. I was now trapped in my dingy one-room kitchenette. It was in a very old two-story building. I was on the first floor in the rear, number 10. Down the hall at night, rats would come scampering and squealing from the alley. They came under the back door, which hung crookedly on its hinges. I had a vague, disturbing doubt in my skull. Was it possible I wasn't even a poor imitation of God? Maybe I was just a sucker black pimp on his way to a third bit in the joint. Chris was the only one of the stable that visited me. We'd bang cocaine together. I wouldn't let her know how worried I was. God couldn't have skull aches. I couldn't let the others see me in a crummy setting. After all, how could a god live like a square chump? Chris knew all the reasons why. To her, God's farts still had the fragrant odor of roses. I worked out with Chris a smooth system. Even the best pimp has to keep some personal contact with his whores. The system was simple and, for a while, effective. Chris and I would go out into the hall to the phone on the wall. She would call the stable at their pad. It would always be 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. One of the girls would pick up. Chris would pretend to be a long-distance operator. It was rare luck that Chris had a talent for mimicry. They didn't get hip to it. It would always be a person-to-person call from me to one of them. Chris and I conned them. The calls came from New York, Boston, and Philadelphia. I would get on the line and talk to all four of them. There were extensions in all four bedrooms. I could con and tighten my game on all of them at the same time. The first call we made was supposed to be from New York. It took maybe a minute for me to have all their horns to receivers. I said, "Well, girls, I know you've missed Daddy. You've all probably wondered, when in the hell is Daddy coming back to town? Jesus Christ! Has he forgotten a whore needs to see her man sometime? Sure, we're in his corner. We prove that when we hump our asses off in the street. We check our scratching to Chris to send to him. God damn it, what could be so important that he neglects his whores? Well, girls, I'm going to show the kind of confidence Daddy's gotten you. I'm going to hip you to a $1 million secret. I know all of you will keep your jibs buttoned." Chris cut in crisply and said, "3 minutes are up, sir. Please signal when through." I continued, "You are the luckiest whores alive. Your man's got a genius white engraver for his pal. He used to be an engraver for the government. We've got some plates he just finished. We've turned out 300 of the prettiest 100-slat bills the human eye has ever seen. They're perfect. Even the government couldn't get hip to a difference from real scratch. There ain't any. We've got one problem we're gonna solve if it takes a year. We've run out of the special paper the government prints its scratch on. My white genius pal even knows how to make the paper. We are playing it cool and traveling and copping inks and other stuff we need. It's tough to cop some of it, but for millions, who's going to give up? As soon as we get the paper made up, we're going to run off a couple of million or so slats. I'm going to breeze back into town the only millionaire pimp in the world. I'm going to buy a beach and a mansion in Hawaii for my stable. If we run out of scratch, we'll just run off another bale. So stay cool and keep humping. Oh, yeah, Chris got a cab to the airport an hour ago. She should be getting home in a couple of hours or so. She's bringing each of you a piece of that beautiful lettuce. Spend it on anything you want. Take it anywhere, even a bank. Believe me, it's perfect." I hung up. I had electrified them with the story. I could hear the excited thrill in their voices when they chorused goodbye. I told Chris to crack the genius had a way to make all the serial numbers on the bills different. I already knew what my story would be whenever I got the heat off me. I could stall them a lifetime. I could say the genius got busted on another beef. I had to wait until he got out. He wouldn't tell me where the plates were hidden. He could even croak while doing his bit. Chris called the next day. The whores were walking on air. They rapped all night about that perfect queer. I was sure I had found the way to hold my stable. I felt like a genius myself. Each time I talked to the stable after that, the genius and I had just copped another vital item we needed. It wouldn't be long now, I assured them. Sweet had dropped the word in the street that I was on the West Coast taking off long scratch from a rich square abroad. It was getting almost impossible to sleep. I would almost jump from my skin when a tenant would knock. I would think it was the heat. The tenant would be calling me to the phone in the hall. When I did fall off into fitful sleep, I'd have nightmares. Those dreams about Mama would hog-tie me on a sweaty rack of misery. I had an awful fear of another jolt in the joint. The guilty daydreams on the heels of the nightmares were torturing my skull. I stopped banging cocaine. It only magnified my terror and worry. I remembered how serene Top used to look after a bang of H. He'd sit and coast like he was in a beautiful, peaceful dream. Maybe he'd been right. Maybe Sable H came after mink cocaine. Chris came on Christmas Eve. She stayed until Christmas Day afternoon. She brought me pajamas, cologne, and robes from herself and the girls. She had given them scratch from me. My one-room kitchenette hideout was crammed wall to wall with trunks and suitcases. I had all those fine threads and no place to go. I was a lonely pimp bastard. Sweet came to see me at midnight in January, the 10th, I think. He took off his velvet-collared Melton Benny. He hung it in the tiny closet. It had been 10 below zero or colder for a week. It was a brand new year, 1946. The new hogs were out for the first time in several years. The garage rent was paid for a year for my old hog. Chris had gone out several times to run its engine for a while. I thought, Christ, it would be a kick to trade off and flash through the fresh air in a new hog. It was the first time Sweet had visited me. He was getting white around his temples. There was less fiery voltage in his gray eyes. That H and that fast track had him looking terrible. He was getting old, all right. He sat down on a suitcase at the head of the bed. I was lying down. Miss Peaches was an old lady, but still gorgeous in her mink coat and fur booties. He slipped off her coat and shoes. He put them on the dresser. She sat on the floor, looking up at me. He said, Berg, got bad news for you. The street wire says city rollers are carrying a mugshot of you around. You're really hot now. I got a wire that pimpin' poison is nosing around your girls in the street. If you ain't got Chris tight, he'll steal her. She's gonna hip him where you're hiding. Maybe you ought to get out of this joint tonight. Take another hideout. Don't let Chris or any other whore you got know where you are. I'm your bosom buddy, sweetheart, and I love you. I'll keep the stable in line for you. In the meantime, I could figure an angle to get your balls out of the hot sand. All you gotta do is call your girls. Tell them you want Uncle Sweet to look out for them for a couple of weeks. It's easy, pal. I just lay there for a long moment, feeling myself tremble. If he had been Lovable Henry, my stepfather, saying he hated me, I couldn't have felt worse. True, I had conquered the fast track, but that suck inside me I couldn't kill was hurting the hell out of me. I looked at him. Somehow I kept my voice steady and the pain out of my eyes. I said, Gee, Sweet, I'd have a bitch of a time trying to cop another friend like you. I feel like bawling just to think about it. I ran down my life story to you. You know I love you like I loved Henry. Maybe I love you, Sweet, more than I love Mama. Don't think I'm a chump square when I say it. Sweet, you taught me to be cold-hearted. You're the only person on earth who could hurt me. The jokers in the street call me Iceberg. They'd laugh their asses off if they knew I was weak for a stud I love like a father. Sweet, please don't hip them. I got sucker weakness. Don't ever do anything to croak my love for you. Sweet, if you ever do, they'll all get hip. I'll maybe fall apart and run through the streets wailing like a crazy bitch. Sweet, I'll wait and think for a day or so. Poison can't steal, Chris. I'll kick things around in my skull. Maybe you should be looking out for the stable. The whole time I was talking, he had run his index fingers along the sword edges of his pants creases. His gray eyes had found the suitcases and cluttered room fascinating works of art. He swallowed air and tinted his bejeweled fingers under his first chin. He said, Berg, this joint is wrecking your skull. Sweet would chop his right arm off before he'd cross you. You're the only friend I got, sweetheart. Shit, honey, you could have 100 whores and I could be whoreless. I'd ask you to give me a bitch. I wouldn't try to steal no whore from you, darling. You need anything? I got a split. I got 2 whores I got to pick up downtown. I said, No, sweet, I don't need anything. I'll rap to you tomorrow. If you hear anything, wire me fast. I'm sure glad you dropped by. I heard his heavy feet pounding down the linoleum in the hall. They stopped, I heard them getting louder. He was coming back. I looked around the suitcase where he had been sitting. I didn't see anything he had left. He thumped the door. I opened it. He had Miss Peaches in his arms. He was flashing the first gold-toothed grin I had ever seen on his face. He said, "Berg, I forgot to tell you. They found old Pretty Preston frozen stiff in the alley back of the roost. The poor bastard had wrapped himself in newspapers. The Greek fired him a week ago for staying near the fire and not pulling marks on the sidewalk. The drunk half-white bastard thought the newspapers could stand off 10 below zero. He turned and walked down the hall. I shut the door and fell across the bed. At 3, Chris called. I told her to stay away until my next phony long-distance call to the girls. I told her Poison might try to tail her, and maybe the FBI. She told me they didn't have a chance. She went in front doors of a half dozen buildings, then out the back doors before she came back to me. When she got to my place, she'd come in the back door and walk through the front door. She'd go through the alley, then through the back door again before she came to my door. Maybe they couldn't keep a tail on her. I told her to stay away to play safe. I told her to not call me from the pad. It would be a bitch if one of the girls picked up an extension. Sweet called the next morning at 1 a.m. The broad next door answered the phone. She knocked on my door. I slipped on an overcoat and walked into the hall. It felt like zero out there. He said, "Berg, I just got the wire. Poison stole your young bitch, Faye. I hope she ain't hip to anything that can cross you. Berg, you gotta make some moves. I'll keep my horns to the wire." He hung up. I was in trouble. I went and got back in bed. I thought, Poison's gonna quiz that stinking bitch. She's gonna spill that queer scratch con I've been playing. To tighten his game on her, he's gonna wake her up to the con. He's gonna tell her I'm hiding out in the city. It's a good thing Chris is in on the con. I could blow whoreless in an hour if she wasn't. I need her to take the rest of the stable underground. Maybe I should have split out of town when I first got hot. I gotta move the rest of the stable fast. Poison is a cinch to pull their coats to the con I played. It's the ace to play for a fast cop of maybe the other three. They'll be salty as hell with me if he gets a chance to wake them up. Hurry, Chris, and call. At 3, Chris called. I ran to the phone in my pajamas. I almost froze to death talking to her. She said, "Daddy, I had to call you from home. Poison just left with Faye and her clothes. The black bastard has wised up the whole family to that game we played. Dot, Rose, and Penny are larceny to the gills. They're crying and packing their clothes. I can't hold them. They hate me. Poison came into my bedroom before he split. He acted and rapped like I was already his whore. If I had a pistol, I'd have croaked the strong bastard." He said, "Well, Miss Bitch, your nigger is finished. You're the only whore he's got left. I know a fast, pretty bitch like you don't want no pimp you gotta go solo for. With my Fay cop, I got 8 whores. I'm on the inside of this game. None of my whores take falls. I'm top pimp in town. You're the best whore in town. There ain't nobody but me you can take for your man. Bitch, come to me, and you could be queen boss bitch of the 8-whore stable. Get your domes and get out of here with me and Faye. Iceberg is going to the federal joint." She said, "Daddy, what happens now? Maybe Poison will come back and gorilla me. I'm so upset, I know any minute I'll scream myself into a padded cell." The zero drafts blasting through the gap under the back door kept me from passing out. I felt cold sweat dripping down my shaking legs. My throat was having dry convulsions. My voice sounded like it came from an echo chamber. I stammered, "Chris, don't lose your cool. This is Iceberg, remember? Like always, I'll put an angle together. Now listen carefully. Pack your things. Go down and get the building flunky. Pay him to take you to a hotel near the garage where the hog is stashed. Check in and leave your things. Go to the hog. Drive back and pick up your stuff. Go downtown and check into a hotel. Drive the hog back and stash it back in the garage. Take an L train back to your hotel. Call me then. I went back and washed my face in cold water. I looked in the mirror. It looked like I had on a Halloween fright mask. I sure didn't look a bit like a fresh-faced kid anymore. The whites of my once bright eyes were bloodshot and faded. The deep black circles looked like some tricky practical joker had conned me to ram ink spyglasses against the sockets. I started looking for Yellow. I had to put a damper on my nerves. I had a little cocaine. I didn't need racing. I needed some skull pacifying. I was out of Yellows. Somewhere in the suitcases I had a notebook. The phone number of a connection no farther than 15 blocks away was in it. Maybe he had Yellows. If not, what the hell, I'd cop a cap of H. One cap couldn't hook me. Horse was a cinch to kick the jitters out of my skull. It would be 2 hours at least before Chris would call back. I found his number. I called him. I told him in code I'd pick up 6 caps within the hour. I had a fat roll of scratch and a sock pinned inside the sleeve of a trench coat. I started to take it with me. I stuck it in my Benny pocket. It bulged like a grapefruit. I'd be back before long. I pinned it back inside the sleeve. I had close to 6,800 slats stashed there. I fished out 3 sawbucks. I slipped pants and a shirt over my pajamas. I put on shoes and a heavy Benny. I was in a hell of a hurry. I pulled the door shut. I heard the spring latch lock. Less than 5 minutes after I had talked to the peddler, I was on my way. It was 4 a.m. when I left. The wintry winds almost snatched my lid off my skull. It felt good, though. It was the first time I'd walked in the fresh air for months. A bleak overcast was blotting out the sky. Slipping and sliding on the icy sidewalks, I finally got the connection. He lived on the 2nd floor over an all-night chili joint. The joint was crowded. There was no one on the sidewalk. I went up the rickety stairs and copped 5 caps of H. He put the caps into a cellophane shell from a cigarette pack. He twisted the end and balled the package. I took it and went down the stairs to the street. I had the sizzle in my hand. I started to walk by the chili spot on my way home. 2 neatly dressed brown-skinned studs were standing on the sidewalk in front of the joint. Its bright lights floodlighted the sidewalk. It was like walking a show-up stage at a police station. From the side vent in my eye, I saw them pinning me. They stiffened. One of them reached toward his chest. I looked back. He was showing his buddy a small square of paper. I started walking fast away from them. I remembered the sizzle. I downed it and walked faster. I knew they couldn't see in the darkness that I had dropped it. I glanced over my shoulder. I saw a rod in the hand of the taller one as they ran toward me. I ran. They were bellowing, "Halt! Police! Halt! Stop or we'll shoot!" I had reached the corner and was halfway around it. I saw a 4-man squad of white detectives. They were cruising toward me in a police car. They threw a blinding spotlight on me. I froze. They all looked at me. I saw a shotgun muzzle ease out of a fast-lowering rear side window. The 2 rollers chasing me skidded around the corner. In a way, I was glad to see them. Those rollers and the cruiser probably hadn't croaked anybody in a week. I really didn't want them to break their luck on me. The 2 held on to me like I was Sutton. The white rollers shut off the spotlight and moved slowly down the street past us. The shorter one had handcuffed my hands behind me. He showed his buddy the picture. They looked up at me. The taller one said, "Yeah, it's the bastard, all right. Look at the eyes. They searched me head to toe. They saw the lone saw buck I had. They hustled me back around the corner. We passed the skinny black joker standing on the corner. He nodded at me. I recognized him. He was in my building. I had sent him for groceries and change for the phone a dozen times. I got a fast glimpse of the picture as the roller slipped it back inside his coat pocket. It was me. I remembered the pearl gray shark skin suit and black shirt. Top and I had been together 4 years ago. The two white rollers who had hit on us hated Top because he had white whores. They wouldn't take a payoff. They booked us on suspicion of homicide and mugged us. Top and I were out in less than 2 hours. It was the one and only time I had been taken in on the fast track. They put me into the rear seat of an unmarked Chevy. They were in the front as the tall one drove away. I said, "Gentlemen, it's not going to put any scratch in your mitts to take me in. Let me give you the price of a couple of fine vines to cut me loose." Slim said, "Shit, you couldn't cop one bullshit vine in a hock shop with the scratch you're carrying." I said, "I got more scratch at my pad. Knowing I'm Iceberg, you can believe that, can't you? Just run me by there, I'll get it. Lay a couple of C's apiece on you and fade away. How about it?" Slim and Shorty looked at each other. Shorty said, "You think we're suckers. You got a federal warrant for white slavery outstanding. We didn't hear a word you said about that chicken shit 4 C's. I said, "All right. So we're all like black brothers. The bad difference is the FBI wants to lynch your brother in court. You gonna throw me to the white folks for hanging? I'll give you $2,000 apiece to beat the FBI out of their pound of black meat." Slim said, "Where's your pad?" I thought fast. It had been a mistake to crack about my pad. If I had told them they could take my whole stash and still bust me or croak me, I was a fugitive. They might even come back to the stash after they took me in. I had the key to the kitchenette in my pocket. I tested them. I said, "You know Sweet Jones? He's a friend of mine. I can get 4 G's from him 5 minutes after we get to his place. I can't take you to my pad. I got a close friend there. Suppose after we got there, you'd change your mind about the deal. You'd have to book him for harboring me." Slim said, "We can't cut you loose. We couldn't do it if you gave us 40 G's. I just remembered you were in that spotlight back there. One of those downtown men could have made you. Sorry, brother, but what the hell? Federal joints ain't bad to pull a bit in. Thanks for popping up like you did. You make a great pinch for us." Chapter 16. Away from the Track. They locked me up in Central Jail. At dawn, a jail trustee brought a basket of bologna sandwiches down the line of cells. A moment later, another trustee brought a gigantic kettle of black stinking chicory. I passed up the delicacies. The tiny cell was too small for 2 men. 8 of us were in it. I was lying on the concrete floor. I was using my rolled up Benny as a pillow. My lid shielded my eyes from the bright bare bulb in the corridor. My cellmates were bums and junkies. 2 of them were getting sick. They were puking all over. The bums were stinking almost as bad as the junkies. A drunk lying beside me dug his fingernails into his scalp and crotch over and over. He scratched his back against the floor. He had to be lousy. It was rough going for a pimp, all right. I thought, if someone had told me a year ago I'd be back in a shithouse, I'd have thought he was nuts. Christ, I hope nothing happens to Chris. She's the only link to the outside I can trust to get my clothes and scratch. I know after she calls and can't get me at the pad, she'll check out all the shithouses. It's a good thing I'm not in the federal lockup at county jail. Here she can grease a mitt and see me. I hope she makes it before the U.S. Marshal shows to move me. At 9, the turkey came and called out my name. I went to the cell door. He looked hard at me through the bar. He twisted the cell lock open. I stepped out into the corridor and followed him. He took me to a break-proof glass window with a speaking hole in it. I saw Chris on the other side of it. She was crying. I couldn't blame her. I felt like crying with her. I bent down and put my mouth to the hole. She stuck an ear against it on her side. I said, "Baby, there's nothing to cry about. Your daddy's brave, bitch, remember? Now listen, I want you to give the copper at the property desk a double saw or so for the key to my pad. I want you to get my scratch out of the sleeve of my green trench coat, rent a safe deposit box, then move my stuff to your hotel. The feds are going to take me back to Wisconsin. They call it the point of origin for the runt's beef. They'll set a bond for me there. I'll get a slick lip in Wisconsin. Baby, you keep checking. Get to Wisconsin the day before I do with the scratch. I'll need it for the lip and bail. Understand, sugar? Once I get bail, I'll get our stable back and beat this rap." I took my jib from the hole and put my horn there. She said, "Daddy, I'll do everything the way you say. I understand. Daddy, I'll go and get the key to your latest hideout. Where did you move? I thought you were going to wait for my call." It didn't register. Maybe I was cracking up under all the strain and grief. Maybe I had moved before I got busted. I raised my head and looked at her. Her eyes were questioning. I pointed my index finger at the hole. I decided to risk my theory that I hadn't moved. I said, "Chris, goddammit, I haven't moved. All my stuff is still on West Avenue. Now, come on, girl. This is not the time for jokes from Daddy's witty bitch. You knocked on the door. I wasn't there. Naturally, I couldn't be. I was down here." She said, "Daddy, I didn't have to knock. The door was wide open. Both trunks and all the suitcases were gone. In fact, the only thing left was your hairbrush. I put it in my purse. Daddy, all of this is too much for me. I must be losing my mind." I stood there glaring hate at her. Her eyes were wide, staring at me. I thought, poison or sweet has stolen this Judas bitch from me. I'm in a cross. One of them has rehearsed this bitch. She's a son of a bitching actress. A sucker looking at this innocent look she's got would have to buy the con. I hate this bitch worse than I do the runt. If I can just get my hands around her throat, I'd love to see her tongue turn black, flopping across her chin. Well, I can't croak her through that glass wall, no matter what. I've got to stay iceberg. I can't let her take back a chump emotional scene to report. She and her new man are not going to get their kicks at my expense. I turned and walked away from her. I saw the turnkey at the far end of the corridor with his back to me. Good thing for me, he hadn't been close enough to lock me back in the car right away. I was 20 feet from her when it exploded in my skull. I thought, "It's the skinny flunky. It's the skinny flunky. It's the bastard that saw me get busted. He rushed back and sprang that spring latch. I gotta go back to Chris and really play some game. If she gets hip, I don't trust her. She'll blow for sure. She's the only stick I got to fight with." I turned back toward her. She was still standing there. She was crying harder than before. I walked to the glass and spoke into the hole. I said, "Chris, a joker in the building saw me get busted. He cleaned me out. Baby, we've been so close. I had a crazy thought that if you'd been there, I wouldn't have been robbed." "What the hell, sugar? I'm the bastard that kept you away. It wasn't your fault at all. Christ, I'll be glad when this is over." give a lip here in town a half a yard or so. Have him come to county jail and bring me whatever papers are needed to sell the hog. Get the slip on the hog from the property desk. It's in my wallet. We should get $2,500 or so for it. Bring that scratch and all you can hump up onto Wisconsin. They moved me to Wisconsin. Chris came to county jail there and put $3,000 in my jail account. Mama came to see me. She was in pieces. She thought the government was going to give me 50 years. At my hearing, bail was set at $20,000. A bondsman put up the face amount. His fee was 2 G's. I got the state's best criminal lip. I gave him a G retainer. Chris and I went back to the track. I stayed out on bail 4 months. I had 2 turnouts and 3 seasoned whores during that time. None stayed longer than a month. Everybody in the street knew about the rap over my head. I guess the whores didn't want to fatten a frog for snakes. Sweet and I didn't see much of each other. I didn't feel close to him anymore. I was a pimp on the skids. Poison was top pimp. Every slat I got my hands on, I wired to the lip. I had to. I was getting one continuance after another. Finally, I went to trial. The runt and Ophelia were there. They were afraid to look at me. They gave the government a penitentiary case, all right. They grinned at each other when I got 18 months. Mama fainted. Chris boo-hooed. I had a good lip, though. With the counts against me, I could have gotten 10 years. Chris went back to the track. She swore she'd stick until I got out. Leavenworth was what the government called a Class A joint. It was big and escape-proof. It was run by master psychologists. There was no screw brutality. It wasn't necessary. The invisible mental shackles were subtle, but harder than the steel bars. Alcatraz was the grim trump the officials held over our heads. It was a joint of con cliques. The most dangerous clique was the Southern cons. They hated Negroes. I had references as a cell house orderly from other joints. I got a spot in a cell house with mostly pimps, dope dealers, and stick-up men. I was out at night until 10 exchanging newspapers and magazines for the cons. I'd been in the joint about 6 months. I stopped in front of a cell to rap to a pimp pal. He was excited and standing, gripping the bars of his cell door. He was a yellow version of Top. They called him Doll Baby. He said, "Berg, you told me I couldn't steal the beautiful bitch. Well, the bitch sent me a kite this morning. She's transferring to the shoe shop. I already got the spot picked out where I can soak into her. I told you that square-ass peck of wood she's got couldn't outplay me. The bitch has got 4 bills on the books. She's getting me a big order on commissary this week. Shit, on the street or in the joint, it's all the same to pimpin' Doll, baby." I had seen the beautiful bitch. He was a lanky white boy with watery blue eyes and bleached corn silk hair. A fat, red-faced Southerner con was madly in love with him. The beautiful bitch would lie in the fat con's arms in the yard and pick at the pimples on his face. The con was feared by everyone. He was the leader of the treacherous band of Southern cons. I said, "Doll, you better cut that bitch loose. Her old man is from Mississippi. He's a cinch to cut your heart out in that yard. He can't let a nigger steal his broad. Take my advice, pal. I like you. You've only a year to go." The next time on the yard, I saw Doll and his bitch billing and cooing on the grass. They didn't see any of the ball game. The game was over. The fat con and his band of Southern Shiv men had been evil-eyeing Doll's show. I was 50 yards back of Doll when it happened. Hundreds of cons were pressed together, filing from the bleachers and playing field. I saw Doll throw up his hands and scream. He disappeared. The gray tide moved on. 3 screws were standing over him. He was on his back. Blood was gushing from his open mouth. Blood seeped from holes in his jacket. He lived, but he had a bitch of a time making it. He stayed hitchless for the rest of his bit. Chris stopped sending me scratch or anything. I got wired she squared up and married a Pullman porter. She even had a baby. I wondered if the sucker knew what a boss bitch he had. I was filing out to sick call one morning. A group of cons on the other side of the road was filing to work. I saw a con marching behind a dark complexion con raise something that glinted in the sun. It was a shiv. He was chopping away at the con. Finally, the con folded dead. Scrooge rushed up and took the hatchet man away. I was 2 months from release. I had stopped to rap to an old con forger who knew sweet. We were shooting the breeze about stick-up men and how they stacked up in the skull department with pimps and con men. We were rapping loud. I knew the night screw was at his desk 4 tiers down on the ground. I said, "Pops, a stick-up man has gotta be nuts. The stupid bastard maybe passes a grocery store. He sees the owner checking his till. Right away, a stupid idea flashes inside his crazy skull. That's my scratch. The screwy heist man walks in. Maybe the grocer is a magician or an ex-acrobat with a degree in karate. Worse, an ex-marine. The silly son of a bitch doesn't realize the awful odds. He ain't got enough in his dim skull to think about the trillion human elements. Any one of them can put him in his grave. The suicidal son of a bitch may have his back to the street with his rod and his mitt. Pops, the stick-up man is champ lunatic in the underworld." Pops agreed, and I walked away down the tier. I heard a hiss from the cell next to Pops. A new transfer was standing at his cell door. He was skinny, with a rat face. I stopped. He was sneering at me. His hands were trying to crush the rolled steel bars. He stuttered, You lousy pimp motherfucker. You pussy-eating son of a bitch. You ain't gonna live your bit out." I went fast to get a rundown on a nut from a stud on the tier below. He said, "Ah, Berg, I hope you haven't crossed that dizzy bastard. He croaked a stud in Lewisburg. They hung 50 on him. He's a heist man. You better watch him close. He's a cinch to make the rock or loony bin." It was a week later, just after the cell house filed out to the shops. The cell house screw had signaled sick call. I was standing in the back of the cell house on the flag. I was lighting a cigarette to smoke before I started mopping and waxing the flag. Somewhere above me, an excited voice shouted, "Look out, Berg!" I looked up and chilled. A plummeting shadow flashed like black lightning in my eyes. I heard a whooshing whistle as it scraped gently against the cloth of my shirt at the tip of my shoulder. A dozen cymbals clashed as it grenaded against the flagstone at my side. I looked down. A steel mop wringer lay in 3 pieces. There was a Rorschach crater in the flagstone. Its outline was like a head shrinker's blot. I stared at it and idly wondered what the prison head shrinker could make of it. He was a slick joker. Months ago, he had told me, "Pimps have deep mother hatred and severe guilt feelings." I looked up. It wouldn't take a head shrinker to figure this one. The rat-faced heist man was grinning down at me. He was on his gallery on the 4th tier, nearing the ceiling. He had stayed for sick call to bomb my skull off. The crater symbol was easy. Rat face hated pimps without guilt feelings tied in. That night, I took a pack of butts to the con, who screamed out the warning to me. The nutty bomber went to solitary. 2 weeks later, he tried to gut a con with a shiv made from a file. They shipped him to the Rock. I was ecstatic to see him go. During my bit, I had read the second cell house full of books. I had read mountains of books on psychiatry, psychology, and the psychoneuroses. I couldn't have done a smarter thing I'd have to be my own head shrinker when the white folks entombed me for a year in that steel casket in the future. I got all my good time. I was released in the early spring of 1947. I stopped off at Mama's for a week. Then I went back to the fast track. I had 60 slats and the joint vine on my back. The clothes I'd brought while on bail were with Chris. Maybe her Pullman porter was my size. Anyway, I wasn't going to do a Dick Tracy for a few used vines. Sweet was still in the penthouse. He had blown down to only 3 whores. Poison had made a bad pimping blunder. He had turned out a white square and put his foot in her ass. It was the last straw for the downtown brass. They bounced him off the force. He had 1 whore. He bird-dogged her. He took his scratch off her after every trick like a chili pimp. I rented a pad by the week. It was in the same slum district where the flunky had beat me for my role in clothes. I had no flash and glamour, no pimp front. I was just another pimp down on his luck. I was starving for a whore. In a pimp's life, yesterday means nothing. It's how you are doing today. A pimp's fame is as fleeting as an icicle under a blowtorch. The young fine whores are wild to hump for a pimp in the chips. A pimp in bad shape can't get the time of day from them. A pimp's wardrobe has to be spectacular. His wheels must be expensive and sparkling new. I had to get the gaudy tools to start pimping again. Chapter 17. Trying a New Game. I had 3 choices. I could cop a piece of stuff on consignment from a contact I had made in the joint. I could peddle it retail and get 9 or 10 grand in weeks. I could take a dog, a broken-down whore with trillions of mileage on her. Maybe I could keep my foot in her ass and grind up a bankroll. I decided to take the third out, do a slick, fast hustle. I met a pimp named Red Eye in a junkie joint. He had just finished a state bit the week before. He was whoreless like me and itching to pimp again. We were crying on each other's shoulders at the bar. He said, "Ice, ain't it a bitch? No matter how much pimp a stud is, these dizzy bitches demand he's got a front. Now we ain't hustlers, but I got an idea. Ice, you're a hell of an actor, and you can rap good as a con man. I know a stud who's hip to every smack peddler and fence on the west side. I got a rod and a real copper shield. All we need is a short and a third stud to drive. Neither one of us is well known over there. Besides, there's a flock of youngsters dealing now who were squares when we left the track. I'm a roller type stud. With the weight you put in on the joint, you'd make a perfect copper. Ice, if we only knock over 3 of them, we split maybe 10 to 15 G's between us. Our finger man is a junkie punk. We give him and the driver peanuts. Ice, those 47 hogs are a pimp's dream. I gotta have one. What do you say? Are you in?" I said, "Red Eye, I'll go for it. I sure as hell ain't gonna put a mop in my hand out here. I don't have wheels, but I've got a little scratch. I'll spring to rent a short. You know someone with one? How about a driver?" He said, "Ice, lay a double saw on me to cop a short. I know a stud for the driver. Meet me right here in this joint tomorrow night at 9. We could take off our first mark." I said, "Don't crack my name to that driver. Call me Tom, Frank, anything." I didn't get 2 hours sleep that night. It worried me to be a part of a hustle that required a rod. I thought, maybe I'd better back out. I could maybe find a young hash slinger in a greasy spoon. I could turn her out in a hurry. she'd be a long shot for stardom. At least she'd make enough scratch for chump expenses. You can't start pimping with a turnout. It never works. A pimp with no whore and no bankroll is a sucker to try the turnout on the mulish square broad. No, I guess the red-eye deal is all I got. Red-eye got to the joint at 10:30. The driver was a huge stud with a wrapper like a girl's. I noticed his big meat hooks shaking on the steering wheel on our way to the west side. Red-eye ran down our first mark. His light maroon eyes were whirling. He had a skull full of H. He said, "Paul, our first mark is a bird's nest on the ground. It's a broad. The finger showed her to me last night. She and her old man got the best smack on the west side. It's so good, studs from all over town are rushing the cop every night. He and the broad deal out of a bar 3 blocks from their pad. They deal mostly in eights and sixteenths. On a week night like this one, they can take off maybe 5 G's. The stud has got a rep as a fast rod joker. He ain't got no direct syndicate connections as far as I know. We ain't got to worry about him tonight. He's in New York copping a supply. The broad will leave the bar around midnight loaded with scratch. She'll have a few packs of smack on her, too, for the evidence to shake her. Her real name is Mavis Sims. She's gonna go to her short park behind the bar. She ain't afraid of being heisted. Everybody is scared shitless of her old man. He's got a small rod strapped to her thigh. She ain't gonna pull it out on the police, though. That's us. Strange rollers from downtown. We gotta move fast on her when she bits that lot behind the bar. She's a slick bitch. We gotta be real rollers. We can't wake her up with fakes. She's a strong bitch. I'd have to blow a hole in her if she'd reach for her rod. There will be a pack of hard studs in the bar. They would love to croak us on that lot to please her old man. We gotta move her fast out of the neighborhood to play her out of the scratch. We gotta be careful the rollers don't join our party. Her old man is doing a lot of greasing in the district. Perry is gonna park our short in the street beside the lot. We gotta arrest the broad, and you play on her while Perry drives. I ain't gonna rap, or maybe queer things. Ice, after we cop her, it's up to you for the shake. You got to convince her. Perry was real nervous. He pulled into the curb next to the bar lot. His skull was jiggling on his bull neck like he had Parkinson's shakes. I was silent. Red Eye's rundown had me wondering how it shaped up as a bird's nest to him. It looked like maybe a bird's nest for Dillinger. If the mark hadn't been abroad, I'd have split and got on an L train. I wonder if she'd seen me before I went to the joint. What if she made me right away as Iceberg and plugged me in the skull? Her old man might have outfit friends. If he did, we'd be found in an alley with our balls rammed down our throats. We were standing in the shadows 10 feet from the broad's short. I said, "Red, I better take the rod. When we step out on her, shine the flashlight right in her eyes." She was walking fast when she came into the lot. Her light blue chiffon dress was billowing in the April breeze. She was walking wide-legged like a whore after a long night in a $2 house. My legs were trembling like a stud dog's hung up in a bitch. I looked down at the badge pinned to the wallet in my palm. It glittered like molten silver in the moonlight. The .32 pistol in my right hand weighed a sweaty ton. She was twirling a key ring. In the utter silence, the clinking sound like the U.S. Marshal handcuffs. She had her hands on the door handle. I stepped out of the shadows. Red Eye was behind me. I wondered if she could hear my ticker hammering. Red Eye put the light in her face, her yellow forehead wrinkled in surprise, her sexy jib flapped open. I grabbed her wrist and tried to crush it. I roared, "Police! What's your name and why are you sneaking around back here?" She stammered, "Gloria Jones, I was coming to my car. I always park it here. Now get out of the way. I'm going home. The captain of this district is a personal friend of my husband's." Red Eye had turned off the flashlight and moved behind her. She was looking down at the badge. She was trying to yank her wrist free. I said in a low, heavy voice, "You lying, dope-peddling bitch. Your real moniker is Mavis Sims. We're from downtown. Your old man's no pal of ours. We're gonna bust you, bitch. I lay odds we've caught you dirty. Come on, bitch, before we get rough. Anything I hate, it's a stinking smack dealer." We hurled her into the back seat of our short. Red got in beside her. I was up front with Perry. I turned facing the rear seat. There was silence as Perry drove out of the district toward central headquarters. Miss Sims was squirming in the seat. Her right hand was out of sight behind her. She was getting very jerky. I remembered that rod she was carrying. I started to shake. I said, "Al, this suspect is acting peculiarly. Perhaps you'd better pull over. She might have concealed some evidence behind the seat." He pulled over. Red moved toward her. She slid to the window on the other side. She said, "Officers, I'm clean. It's worth 50 apiece to cut me loose. If you bust me, I'll be out in an hour. Take me back to the bar. I can get the 150 from the bar owner." I said, "No dice, sister. We've got specific orders to bring you in. Now don't make him slap abroad around. He's gonna frisk you. He don't have to wait for a matron to do it downtown. It's proper if he thinks you're armed and we're in danger." He patted the inside of her thighs. It was there, a .22 automatic jammed under the top of her stocking. He took it out and shoved it in his pocket. Searched her bosom, purse, shoes, and hair. She was sure clean, except for the rod. I felt like a real chump. All this trouble for nothing. He was scratching his chin. The junkie punk had put a bum finger on the broad. I was at the point of shoving her out. Then it struck me. Where did my street whores hide their scratch? In the cat. In the cat, where else? The clincher was this broad's wide-legged walk. I had noticed it on the lot. She was leaning forward, staring at Perry's face. I said, "Joe, it's gotta be up her cat. Bitch, stretch out and put your legs across his lap." She said, "The hell I will. You phony niggas ain't rollers. That big one at the wheel used to bounce in Mario's." She was wise. The double saw I gave Red Eye had tapped me out. We had to know if she had treasure up her cat. I wonder how he'd handle it. I didn't wonder long. He turned brute. He punched her hard in the nose. It was like he had cut her throat. Blood splattered over the front of her dress. I felt a light spray on my face. She opened her mouth to scream. He smothered it with a terrible slam to the gut. She went limp. He pulled her across him. He darted his paw between her legs. When he brought his mitt out, it made a kissing sound. He had a long, shiny plastic tube between his index and middle fingers. It stank like rotten fish. The broad was moaning and holding both hands to her nose. He unwrapped the package. The pouch was bursting with scratch. In the center of the roll, I saw the cellophane edges of packaged dope. He got out and opened the door on the broad's side. He dragged her out to the sidewalk. He got in the front seat. Perry gunned away. I kept a sharp eye on Red Eye as he counted the scratch in his lap. Red Eye and I netted $2,000 apiece. Red Eye took the packages of H. The broad dealer had $4,400 in the pouch. Perry, and the Junky Finger Man got two bills apiece. It was a week before we tried for the second mark. We shouldn't have. He was a reefer peddler and fence. We thought he had big scratch on him. We didn't have a driver. We had the mark in the short. Red Eye was driving. We were playing the peel off. The mark was in the back seat. I was in the front seat. I asked for his identification. He handed me his hide. I saw it only had a few slats in it. We were pulling to the curb to search him. A two-man squad car passed. The mark saw them and started screaming. They stopped and dragged Red Eye and me out to the street. They kicked and beat the hell out of us. They took us down. The mark was slick. Right there on the street, he cracked we took a C-note from him. If he'd known about our role, he could have beefed for 4 G's. The rollers saw our rolls and tried to pin every stick up on the book against us. We went on every show up for a week. We didn't get a finger. They booked us for armed robbery of the mark.